Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. Last week, we discussed a little bit about the coming transcript books. And that came about because one day recently, as I may have mentioned, I asked Jim Hiles, how many series do we have that we don't have put together yet? So he is the expert in indexing everything. He's got it all indexed. And he told me it was 90. So we can have as many as 90 transcript books. And we got the equipment to make them. And so here is the first one that Ken Redman made. Wealth and Income, the Bible Truth about Tithes and Offerings. And it's in spiral bound. And if we get over 70 pages, we put it in spiral bind. So we appreciate you making it, and we are calling it a transcript book. And I remember talking to someone, and they said, well, I think it was at the conference, we've got to have everything, you know, we've got to have everything so we can pass it on to the next generation, because we don't know how long before Christ returns. See, we don't know how much God is going to let the world do what they're going to do. But maybe we can look at it this way. Maybe, as you'll see with some of the things I have to talk about here a little bit, maybe Satan is trying to convince God, just let him continue with these scientific developments, and we can have people that will live forever in the flesh. Now, I don't know if that's so or not, but anyway. So here we have it, see, and it's interesting that one of the reasons, and I've got a quote in here from a man, and he said, well, I decided to quit tithing because I needed the money, but what happened to me was I tithed all the way to bankruptcy, because if you use God's money for purposes other than what it should be, you will use it for other purposes, and you do not have the blessing that comes with honoring God with the things that you should. All right, so keep that in mind. Now then, here's one of the next ones we are going to do, the grace of God. And we have the grace of God in the Bible in booklet form. Now, I don't know how long this is, but it's probably going to be about a 150-page transcript book. The grace of God. I'll get to that. Thank you. Thank you, Ken. You're keeping track of what you're going to do. We have another one, the grace of God and commandment keeping. See, now I recently got a paper from a man who said, grace means favor. Well, that was it. So I said, thank you for your paper. That's a good analysis. And there is much more to it, so I sent him the grace of God in the Bible, grace of God commandment keeping, and grace upon grace. Now, grace upon grace is important for us to understand. And that is for those who are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. And that puts a person in direct contact with God the Father in heaven above and Jesus Christ in heaven above. Through prayer, through study, God's angels protecting you, access to God to have your sins forgiven, access to God to grow in grace and knowledge, access to God so that you can develop the character you need in preparation for the resurrection. So that is really a series. All right, now one. Here's another one. This will change the title of this from the epistle to the Ephesians to Apostle Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. And that one is a special study. Now, when I did the translations for Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, what I did an amplified version of it, meaning I took the meaning of the key words and put in the full meaning, amplifying the various meanings of the word, and it really turned out wonderful. I used that 1 year for all 8 sermons for the Feast of Tabernacles. So if you hear me mention Feast of Tabernacles, I know someone said, well, I thought this was Ephesians. I said, it is. Well, why did you mention Feast of Tabernacles? Because I did it for the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay. Then I also did Philippians, and here's the one on Colossians. Okay. We will have that. All of these are verse-by-verse studies. Now, we have several on Colossians. We have the Amplified Version, and we have the word-for-word Greek study version. So we'll have that. Then we have a booklet on divorce and remarriage. And, of course, today, there is so much sexual immorality, it makes you wonder, are 80% of the marriages not binding before God? So that will be an interesting one. Then every year we put together all the transcripts for the feast. So we have the Feast of Tabernacles. So I remember 1 year when we first did that, we were down in Foley. And I got there the fourth day, or second or third day, I forget which. And Dolores says, you know, there's this new family up here that sits up close. And all during the sermon, they're not watching the video. They have their head down looking at something. So she didn't know that we did the transcripts, and they were following the video with a transcript, see? Now, what we're doing online for CBCG, very soon you're going to see it completely remodeled and set for easy to find with a very quick search engine in it. And so we have it also that when you come to the transcript there, you can play the sermon while you read the transcript right there online. Same way with a faithful version. Now, as I mentioned, if you're online, go to afaithfulversion.org. Now, we finished all the New Testament. We have the Psalms done, the Proverbs done, and we're working on getting the rest of the Old Testament done. But the New Testament is already done, and you have it this way. Here comes the home page. Left-hand side of it, Old Testament books, all listed and numbered. Right-hand side, New Testament books. So all you do is select the book that you want, up comes the book, and you punch the chapter that you want, and up comes the chapter. Now, it's got an arrow forward and backward at the top and bottom of the page. So if you want to go forward, just click on that. Next page. Want to go backward? Click on that next page. If you want to go forward several pages, you just hit it repeatedly, and then you come to the page that you have. And it has it all in readable form. So with the reading of the New Testament to accompany it. Now, I got one letter from a family that homeschools, and they said that's what they use for their Bible study for homeschooling. Okay, so we have that. Now then, in a bit we are going to watch a video, a very startling video. Let's come here to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Now you recall many times I have said there has to something take place with the Muslims to tame them down, and so they can become part of a world religion. Now, how is that going to happen? Well, when we watch this video, it'll take about 30 minutes to watch it. Okay? You will see a very miraculous finding that happened to a Muslim imam who became converted to Catholicism. Okay? Now then. Now let's come here to Matthew 24. Let's pick it up in verse 24. Okay? Verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and they shall present great signs and wonders. Now, one woman told me that some of those in a congregation of a Church of God said, well, when they see miracles, they will really be convinced. Well, I don't know what they need to be convinced about. However, miracles that do not conform to the Word of God come from Satan the devil. Okay? Now, notice how convincing they are going to be. And when we watch the video, I want you to see how convincing it is. In order to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So if God doesn't give miracles and Satan gives miracles, are you going to say that this can't be of God because we don't have miracles? But look at the miracles they are doing. All right, remember what happened with Moses and Aaron and Pharaoh? Okay. The first three miracles that they did, the snakes, the blood, and the frogs, the magicians copied, and it stopped with the lice. God had a special treat for them. Now, what does it say about the things concerning the Antichrist? With lying wonders of all deceivableness. Now, how is that going to take place, and why will it be convincing? And we'll just add one more. We've read it many times, Revelation 13. And he will even call fire down from heaven. Now, that's convincing, isn't it? And what could they point to in the Bible? They could point to Elijah, who did what? Called fire down from heaven. So everybody's going to be convinced that these things are going to be of God. Okay. Now, this video, and I will put this on a fade out and a fade in. This video was originally done in Spanish, but there is an English translation. Now, just a little aside, remember the one thing the Catholics have not really revealed, which is the vision of Fatima, which was to two girls, or three girls, I forget which, who were related to Muhammad. You're going to be astonished when you watch this. So let's go ahead and let it run.
Welcome to another episode of Changing Tracks. Today we have yet another wonderful video conference, this time in English. We have the honor of having Mario Joseph with us.
Mario Joseph,
welcome to Changing Tracks. Thank you for being with us today.
You're welcome, and may God bless.
I guess we can start with an easy question. What was your childhood like? Where are you from? What was your family like? Tell us a little about yourself.
My great-grandparents are from Turkey, but they came and settled down in India, in the South Kerala, a location called Wayanad. It's a beautiful hill station. We are six children at home, and I am third one. When I was in the womb of my mama, there was an infection for her womb. So all the doctors said the child will die in the womb. And doctors compelled my mother to kill the child, you know. So, but she is very good devotee of Allah, God. So she did not accept anyone or any advice. She prayed to Allah saying, Allah, life belongs to you. So I know you can give life. If you give life for this baby, I will surrender this baby for you. That was her offering or a surrender. And miraculously, I was born. All thought I will die in the womb. Because I have been dedicated to God, my parents did not send me to school. So my childhood was very bad, because when my brothers, sisters and neighbors all goes to school, I don't have any freedom to go, because I belongs to God. And at the age of 8, they sent me to a Muslim Arabic college to make me Muslim Maulana. So till the 8, if you ask me, I don't remember all the things, but I remember between 5 and 8 some of the incidents. So my childhood was not very happy because against my wish, they were, you know, they did not ask me, are you ready to go for God? Nothing like that. They themselves offered and they said, you are for God.
You became an imam before you were 18, right?
Yes.
And how did that happen?
Okay, for us to become Muslim Maulana, you have to study philosophy and theology. So in the philosophy, you will have 5 years or almost. In that 5 years, you will be studying about metaphysics, epistemology, logic, etc. And then Arabic language also. And then second term is your theology period. It's called Mukhtasar. The first is Mukhtasar and second is Mutawwil. So in the Mutawwil period, you will be studying theology, you know, moral theology and Quranic theology, Sharia, law, everything. And then within 10 years, some people will be 12, but those who are very clear in studies and performance, within 10 years, they can finish their studies. So I did my 10 years studies in that Arabic college that's situated in South Kerala, and I did my studies there.
All right. And during that time, during that formation process, during that time period, you never stopped to ask yourself, for example, if everything they were teaching you was really true?
No, one thing from the childhood onwards was there in me, like the laws should not be forcibly compelled on human beings. You can give the freedom. If you want, you do it. This is good. If you do it, you will attain good. This is bad. If you do it, you will attain bad. You can say that. But if you did not do, you should not be punished on earth itself. So for an example, in Islam, you know, my daddy will say, you say namaz. If I did not say namaz, they will beat me. They will say, you take Ramzan. If I am not taking my fasting, then they will not give me food. You know, the punishment was not very happy for me in my childhood.
So when exactly did you start to think for the first time, this isn't true? When did you start to turn away from Islam? Or what made you begin to pursue Christianity?
Okay, while I was working in a Muslim masjid as an imam, as a parish priest, once I preached in my parish that Jesus Christ is not God. For me, God was only Allah. And I believe Allah never married, so no son for Allah. So I preached there that Jesus is not God. Then somebody asked me, who is Jesus? From the crowd. Maybe a Muslim, but he asked me, who is Jesus? I was preaching, he is not God. But the question, who is he? To know who is he, I read the entire Quran once again. 114 chapters, 6,666 verses in Quran. When I read it, the name of Prophet Muhammad I found in Quran 4 places, but the name of Jesus I found 25 places. There itself I was little confused. Why Quran giving more preference for Jesus? And second thing, I could not see any women's name in Quran. Prophet Muhammad's mother name or wife's name or children name, no. In the Quran there is only one woman name I found, Maryam, the mother of Jesus. No other woman name. And in the Holy Quran chapter 3, the name of the chapter is Family of Maryam. And the Holy Quran chapter 19, the name of the chapter itself is Maryam. One chapter is Maryam. So I was very curious to know why this Quran says all these things. About Maryam, Holy Quran chapter 3 verses 34 onwards says that Mary was born without original sin. She never committed any sin in her life. She was ever virgin. Quran chapter 50 verses 23 says that she went to heaven with her physical body. Even the assumption is written in Holy Quran. And then about Jesus, when I read chapter 3 verses, 45 to 55 verses, there are 10 points which Quran makes about Jesus. The first thing Quran says, Kalimatullah, the Arabic word, which means word of God. And the second thing, Ruhullah, which means spirit of God. And the third is Isa al-Masih, which means Jesus Christ. So Quran gives the name for Jesus, word of God, spirit of God, Jesus Christ. And then Quran says that Jesus spoke when he was very small, like 2 days old after his birth. He began to speak. Quran says that Jesus created a live bird with mud. He took some mud, formed a bird. When he breathed into it, it became a live bird. So I think that he can give life. He gave life to a mud, clay. And then Quran says that Jesus cured a man born blind and a man with leukoderma, leprosy, etc. Continuously, Quran says that Jesus gave life to dead people. Jesus went to heaven, he is still alive, and he will come again. When I saw all these things in Quran, my thinking was what the Quran says about Muhammad. You know, according to Quran, Prophet Muhammad is not the word of God, not the spirit of God, never spoke when he was 2 days old, never created any bird with mud, never cured any sick people, never raised any dead people, he himself died. And according to Islam, he is not alive and he will not come back. So there is a lot of difference between these two prophets. I don't call Jesus as God, you know, my idea was he's a prophet, but he's a prophet greater than Muhammad. So one day I went to my teacher, the one who taught me 10 years in Arabic college, and I asked him, teacher, how did God created the universe? Then he said, God created the universe through the word. Through the word. Then my question, word is creator or creation? Must clear it. My question, whether the word of God is creator or creation? Quran says Jesus is word of God. If my teacher said the word of God is creator, which means Jesus is creator, then the Muslims must become Christian. Suppose if he said the word is creation, he will be trapped. You know why? He said everything created through the word. Suppose if he said the word is creation, then how the God created the word?
Wow.
So he cannot say the word is creator, cannot say the word is creation. So he was quite angry. He pushed me out of his room and said, word is not the creator, not the creation. You get out from me, he said.
If you see things so clearly, why don't all Muslims convert to Christianity? Why don't they accept this?
They say the word is creation. They try to prove. They say the word is not the creator, not the creation, but not God. Not God. Not the creator, not the creation. So not God. And not creation also. So they don't equal with God. That's all their problem. So then when he said that, I told my teacher, word is not the creator, not the creation. That is why Christian says word is son of God. Then he told me, if there is a son for God, I must show him the wife of God. Without wife, no chance for having a son. Then I showed a portion from the Quran. Quran says that God can see without eyes. God can talk without tongue. God can hear without ears. It's written in Quran. I said, if that is the case, he can have a child without a wife. So there we have a big argument. And you know, at the end, what I did, I took my Quran, kept on my chest, and I said, Allah, tell me, what should I do? Because your Quran says Jesus is still alive, Muhammad is no more. You tell me, whom should I accept? After my prayer, I opened Quran. I didn't ask anyone. I asked only to my Allah. When I opened Quran, I saw chapter 10, verse 94. You know what Quran says? فَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ فِي شَكِّمْ مِمَّا أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ فَاسْأَلِ الَّذِينَ يَقْرَؤُونَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَقَدْ جَاءَكَ الْحَقِّ. If you have any doubt in this Quran which I give to you, go and read the Bible or ask the people, those who read the Bible. The truth is already revealed in that. So if you ask me, who made me Christian? It's not any fathers, it's not any sisters, it's not any bishops, it's not any cardinal, it's not even Pope. But the Holy Quran converted me to Christianity. So after seeing this, I decided to study Bible, and I went to a Rutit Center called the Divine Rutit Center. That's in India. We have a 7 languages Rutit. Lakhs of people are coming there every week. You know, every week, Monday to Friday's residential Rutit. And a lot of Hindus, Muslims and Christians and different denominations from all over the world, people come there. So I went there to do my Bible studies. That's how I had a relationship with Christianity or with Catholic Church.
Okay, and that's when you decided to become Christian?
And immediately after coming, it was not. I attended a retreat first, and I was not very happy. I was less than 19, not yet. I finished my studies, and I was working in an Arabic college. Sorry, I was working in a masjid, so it was less than 19. And then while I was doing my Bible studies, there are a lot of points which touched me from Bible. The first day, Father read John chapter 1 verse 1 onwards. In the beginning there was word, the word was with God, the word was God, the word became flesh. So my Holy Quran says Jesus is the word of God. Now the Holy Bible also says Jesus is the word of God. So I found it both is very similar. And I was happy to know that I need Quran and I need Bible both. You know, I was in a mood like one day become Christian, one day Muslim, one day Christian, you know, I need both. While I was thinking like that, again, one more word I heard, that was John chapter 1, verse 12. Such a lovely word for me, because it's written in Bible, if anyone accepts Jesus, Jesus will give them power to become children of God. In all the verses of the Quran, Allah calls the human being slaves, and Allah is master. Master cannot love the slave, slave cannot love the master. I don't like to be called by someone a slave. Quran says, you are my slave. But when I heard John chapter 1 verse 12, it says, if you believe in Jesus, Jesus will give you power to become children of God. So immediately I said, I need Jesus because I want to be a child of God. There I began to call my God Daddy. Till then I never knew that I can call God Daddy. You know, Jesus taught the prayer in Aramaic language, Abun Roshmayo, our God who art in heaven. Abun, he called. In Arabic language, Abun means our dad. You know, and if you ask me, I cannot express my joy whenever I call my dad, you know, whenever I call God Dad. And whenever I think that the creator of the universe is my dad, I have a kind of joy which I cannot express. It's beyond my, you know, experience cannot explain. Only you can understand by experience. So I really love to call my God. There I decided to accept Jesus.
So that's when you made the decision to become a Christian?
Yes.
And did you tell your family?
No. That's where I stayed in Divine, and so many other points touched my life, and I decided to become Christian. By the time I was missing in my home, so my parents thought I will be in my masjid, and the masjid people thought I will be in my house. So when they both communicated, they understood I am not in masjid, not in home. So they searched for me everywhere. They give advertisement in newspaper and the television, etc. Finally, they found me in a Catholic retreat center. And one fine day, my dad came there. And it was very horrible because he beat me very badly. And there was bleeding from my nose and I was unconscious. And then he took me home. I don't know how he took me, but somehow he took me home because I was unconscious. When I came in conscious, I was in a small room without any clothes. I was completely naked and my hands and legs were chained very tight. And I could not even speak because there was chili powder in my mouth, nose, eyes. And, you know, wherever the wound was there in my skin, they applied some chili there also for me to get burning. And they did so much because it is written in Quran more than 18 places to fight with the non-believers. And it is written in some places to kill the one who reject Islam. So my dad is obeying the law of Quran. So he wants to do something. And within few days, they did not give me food or water. And I was dried off. And one day my lift broke and I was trying to lick little blood to wet my throat. Then my brother came and passed urine in my mouth. You know, they said, that's punishment for you to believe in Christ. And then after so many days, like without food or water, my stomach became wrong and my entire body became weak and I became like a bone. Finally, I lost even my memory power. I can't even think because no food, no water. So like a dead man. And I don't know how many days, more than 20 days it was there in the room. And one day my dad came to room and he removed my chain and I was not aware. And he chopped my throat very deep to know is there life in my body. So when he chopped very deep, I couldn't breathe. So when I opened my eye, I could see a big knife in his hand. So my dad said, it's your last moment. No hope. He said, if you need Allah, I will allow you to leave. If you need Jesus, I will kill you. I know that, you know, when I was in the womb itself, all said I will die. But they loved me so much and they prayed and they got the life. And now they want to kill me. So I don't know. And I know my dad well, he will kill me. So when I know that it's my last moment of death, I thought, anyway, Jesus died, but he came back. If I believe in Jesus and I too may get my life, you know, a kind of a joy, you know, it is better to die in Jesus. When I decided, suddenly a light fell on my forehead, you know, a moonlight, something fell on my, and there was a kind of electric shock something passed throughout my vein. I was so energized, you know, from somewhere the energy flow into my body, and I couldn't control myself. That much energy there was in my bone. I pulled my dad's hand down and I cried out, "Jesus!" When I cried out, my dad fell on the ground. When he fell, with the knife which he was holding, there was a big wound for his chest. And there was bleeding, and some kind of foam was coming from his mouth, and he was screaming, you know. And all were shocked, my brothers and mom, my sister. They don't know what's happening. So they thought my dad is already dead. So they took my dad and ran to hospital. When they were running to hospital, they forgot to lock my room from outside. And I was in an energy which I cannot tell you, because I was only born. No food, so many days, more than 20 days. Bony, but very energy. So I just came out and wore the dress of my dad. I ran to taxi stand, took a taxi, straight away went to Kota. On the way, the taxi man, he was a Christian, so he bought for me some kanji juice and everything. And he knows my struggle, and he taught me to put down. And he contacts me even now. He's a very good friend of mine, the taxi driver. So I came to Pottai again. That day, really I understood my Jesus is alive even now. When I call him for my need, he saved me. So which means he is present here, even when I am talking to you. So that is my life. Everywhere I know that he is present. Because now after my conversion, 18 years, I never thought that Muslims will allow me to live 18 years. And I have even preached in Middle East, where the Arabs came, but nothing happened. So which means my Jesus is alive and he is protecting me.
Mario,
is your life in danger? Are people still trying to kill you?
Yes, even after this experience, so many times they tried to kill me. And at the end, my parents, you know, they did a mock funeral ceremony. You know what it is? It's like outcasting, keeping you out. You know what they did? They made my statue and buried in a grave. And they wrote my birth date and death date. They wrote the original birth date, but the death date, the day when I became Christian, when I took the baptism. So that is the death day for them, and they buried. So in my hometown, I have my own grave, you know. One of my friend, a Christian friend, when he passed that way, he took the photo of that grave and sent it to me. That's how I know that I have a grave. So thereafter, no contact with my sisters, whom I love so much. My mom, I really love her, but no hope. Humanly speaking, no hope. God can touch them within a moment. So I'm praying. And even if they did not accept Christianity, I am always saying, Jesus, please take them to heaven. Where I am, I need them. So that's my prayer always.
Yeah.
And you're not afraid to die?
Never. No, that's it. The fear of death is actually a foolishness. You know why? All those who are born should die one day. 100%, all have to die. You have to die. All have to die. Whether you fear or you don't fear, you have to die. It's a fact. And I will say that is the only assurance thing which you will attain on earth. Now, when I am talking to you, I am not sure whether this will be broadcasted, because anything can happen. I am not sure whether I will have tonight my dinner. I am not sure. I am not sure whether I will be back to India. I am not sure. I'm not sure whether my children studies very well and get the certificate. I'm not sure of anything. The only thing which is surest to me on earth is that I will die. All other things are unsurest thing, and you are trying. Something is happening, something not happening. But it is unsurest. It's not sure. The only thing which is surest on earth is death. So never fear death. You must be sure that it is going to come one day. Then what you can do is, you can think like this. If you believe in Muhammad and die, you know what will be your situation? Prophet Muhammad died, people buried, and afterwards we don't know where he went. If I believe in him and die, I don't know where I will go. Gautam Buddha, Mahavira, Guru Nanaka, Shirdi, Babi, Kali, Muruga, Basvana, Vamana, so many gods and goddesses in my country, in India. All have lived, created history, they died, people buried, and we don't know where they went. So if I believe in all these gods and goddesses, I don't know what's my future. But Christ, who died, but he came back. So I have a hope, if I die in Christ, I too can come back. So it is better be sure of death, and that should be in Christ. because Jesus very clearly said, I am going to my Father's house. John chapter 14, verse 3. I'm going to my Father's house. There are so many rooms, and I will arrange a room for you. Then I will come back to take you. So, you know, I'm so happy to know that my Jesus is arranging big bungalow for me there, big house. Once if he finish the work, he will come back to take me. I think it is a big bungalow because last 18 years, Muslims tried to kill me. They could not kill, which means still the construction is going on. Once if it is ready, then he will come back to take me. Then only the Muslims can kill me. Till then, nobody can. So I am not afraid of death because that is a fact. Only thing I am thinking, after my death, what? To have eternal life, you need Jesus. And not only that, you need Catholic Church. I will specifically say that because my faith is, every religion says the block between God and man is sin. And in Islam, for the sin, they are offering animal. For their sin, they are sacrificing animal. In Hinduism, next birth, next birth. But only in Christianity, Jesus himself took my sin and my punishment, and he removed this sin from me, and he made me pure, and he can surrender me to God, the Father, saying that he is pure and I have purified. I have taken out all his transgression, his punishment and his sins. So now you can take him to heaven. So Jesus is my Savior. He is a perfect man because I am man. My Savior should be a man. And he is perfect to God because I need eternal life. Only God can give eternal life. Now it's very simple to tell you. The consequences of sin is death. The consequences of sin is death. So to remove the death, what you should do? To remove the darkness, you must bring light. The same way, to remove the death, you must bring life. Whose life? In the Old Testament, they were giving the life of animal because they believed life in blood and animal blood. And Muslims are doing even now. But to remove my death, I need eternal life. From where I can get eternal life? Only from God. And that is given by Jesus on the cross. So when I partake in his body and in his blood, I am partaking in his life. I am becoming part of his life. So then that's why Jesus calls me brother. And Jesus and me both calls God daddy. You know, it's a union in God, and we are attaining eternal life. So to receive this, always you must be a Catholic. Because Jesus clearly said, if you eat my body, if you drink my blood, you shall never die. Even if you die, I will raise you. So that's how I decided to become Christian, especially a Catholic.
Okay, now I have a question. Your life is in danger. You're here in Europe taking a huge risk by sharing your testimony with others. What do you think about the people here in Europe who are baptized but who don't practice their faith? What would you say to them?
That's the reason. There are two problems. One is that we are very weak in educating our children in faith. We are very weak. And that weakness originated in us. We were speaking a lot of freedom for human beings. So when we give a lot of freedom, which is not permitted by God, this has happened. For example, the gay marriages or fetus killing or abortion, you know, or the alcohol or drugs. Everything is legalized in all the countries now, almost everywhere. So when it is legalized, nobody has the right to question anyone. Even the parents doesn't have the right to question the children. So this human freedom is the real problem to come out of faith. And the second thing, in this freedom, the parents are unable to tell children to go for catechism. But in Islam, since it's a political religion, it's Islam. The beauty of Islam is a religion and it is a politics. So it's a political religion. So Islam tried to control the Islamic world with Sharia law. So it is forcibly asking the children to attend the catechism. So from childhood onwards, they are training with real catechism. So they have a lot of fanatic faith. I say we must respect the human being. We must give full freedom for the human being. At the same time, from childhood, we must try to educate Catholicism to our children. If it can, then definitely the European world will change. You know, 2 days before I was praying for Europe, after reaching here, midnight I was praying and asked the Lord, what's a message to the Europe, especially to the Spain? And I received a message that was the Revelation chapter 2 verses 2 to 4. God himself says, I know how hard work you did for me. God says to Spain, Spain did a lot of hard work for the name of Jesus. And I know how much you suffered for me. A lot of suffering we have gone through for Jesus. And I know how you tolerate the false prophets. Spain have fought with false prophets so many years. And then God says, but now I have a complaint against you. You lost that first love. You lost that first love. Get back that love. So the entire Europe, God is saying only one thing. Get the same love back. How your forefathers was here. Get back. And we all will pray for that and we will work for that. That's all my ambition. That's the reason I am here. It's not I wish to come here, but God sent me to Europe. So there are so many prophets, those who are coming to Europe. And there are so many prophets in Europe, so many saints in Europe, which we are not aware. So all will be working and praying together. Definitely the changes will happen.
It's a good thing you see it like that, huh? Can you tell us a little about what you do now, what type of apostolate you have, how you spend your time?
Okay, in the retreat center where I am staying, it's a Catholic retreat center. We have retreats in local language Malayalam, Tamil, Telugu, Kannada, Konkani, Hindi, and English. So I have talks every day in all the languages. So every day I am occupied, which means Monday to Friday, every day I am occupied with sharing the word of God and my witness to the thousands of people. Apart from that, when God sent me to other countries or other parts of India, I move around. So this is my present life. So serving for the Lord.
In the beginning, you mentioned something about Our Lady. How is your relationship with her since you became Christian? How do you relate with her? What do you think about the image of Our Lady? Do you see her as your mother, perhaps?
With Mother Mary. Mm-hmm. That's a nice question. You see, when I was very small, one day for my toes, there was an infection. And my mama took me to a hospital. And the name of the hospital was Fatima Hospital. And Fatima is the name of Prophet Muhammad's daughter. But there was a lot of Catholic sisters and fathers. So I asked my mama, Mama, it's a name. Fatima is our name, no? Why this Christian keeps the name? Then my mother explained me about Fatima, the Spain, Portugal Fatima, how the Mother Mary appeared and all. And then she explained me about Mother Mary. So from childhood onwards, I heard about Mother Mary and there was a liking for, you know, a love for me towards Mother Mary. And then later on when I read the Quran, I understood what all my mama taught me is true. And later on when I came to Catholic Church, then again my faith became more deeper. And since I love Mother Mary, you know, when at the time of my baptism, my spiritual father asked me what name you prefer. So my name was Sulaiman ibn Ahmad in Islam. So all the father said, you keep Solomon. Solomon is Sulaiman. I said, no, I love Mother Mary so much, so I need Mother Mary's name. Then they said, it's a lady's name, you are men. I said, we will find out some name. Then one of the priests who was from Italy, he said, Mario. So that's how I got the name Mario, Italian name, because I love Mother Mary. And then second name they asked what I said, if Mary is there, then let it be Joseph. So Mario Joseph. So, you know, I love and I always ask the intercession of Mother Mary and I know that she is protecting me wherever I am. When I go to Muslim world and when I am traveling, I know that she is protecting me so much. As our John Paul II said, you know, Mother Mary protects her children so much. So it's my experience.
Okay, Mario Joseph, just to wrap things up, what would you like to say to the people who are watching this show? What would you say to them?
Same thing I'm saying. While I was praying for the Spanish people, I got a message from Bible that is from Revelation chapter 2, verses 2, 3, 4. So come back to the same love which you have earlier towards the church, towards the cross, towards the heaven. So we must come back to the same position. That's all I will say.
Now, I know that was a little hard understanding. We'll see what we can do to improve it. But I think it's important to see that Satan is working overtime. So there will come a day when these things will take place. And it will sound very convincing. And remember, every counterfeit has to have enough truth to make it plausible. So let's go ahead and take another break, and we'll pick it up afterwards.